Matters. Proudly brought to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
Join me, Stephen Dello, every Monday at 4:15 as we chat all things property, investment and leadership. Hear from the experts aimed at landlords, tenants and business leaders and get inspired on your own investment or career journey. Property Matters, Mondays at 4:15 here on Planet FM or download from your favourite podcast site.
Property Matters.
Welcome along to another Monday and to Property Matters. Great to have you here if you're tuning in live on Planet FM, or a big thank you if you're downloading our podcast, which you can find on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple and Samsung and YouTube. Now, I am delighted to welcome Lucia Shao here today, who is a fabulous financial freedom guru, I'm going to call her. That, no pressure, Lucia. But you've produced books, you've had a career in the investment space, both here in New Zealand and in Australia, sorry. So I'm really excited to unpack your journey over the next little while. But before we talk about your current role and your book, take us right back. You've left high school. What on earth made you start this sort of career journey? Talk to us about the early years.
I actually came to New Zealand last century.
Okay. Love that.
It's kind of like 27 years ago, yeah, which is quite amazing, yeah. And then later on, I kind of like went into the bank. So there was a... It was kind of like I had to overcome my misbelief, because at that time I didn't think that my English was good enough to get in there. And luckily that my husband's grandmom kind of gave me the courage, you know, like made me realizing that I need to give it a go.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
so
nice.
So, you know, at early stage it was really, really hard, you know, being a migrant here and not knowing like what to do, and I sent out probably like over 30 CVs and I didn't get any response, not even a simple reply and say you are declined or something, nothing. Yeah. But you know, after her encouragement, because basically what she, cause I said, oh, it's quite interesting, no? Yeah. Because only many years later you realize that she's my first mentor in life. Yeah. Because she knew I was looking for work. She didn't ask me like, oh, Lucia, what are you looking for? She actually asked me like, what would I want to do? And I say, well, I always wanted to work in a bank, but I actually don't think that my English is actually good enough to actually work in a bank. And she looked into my eyes and she said, Lucia, your English is fine. I understand you. So come back home. I sent out two CVs, ASB and ANZ. And very soon I got a telephone interview and I was fine. And then I was invited to the head office to do a mess test. And you can imagine for a Chinese mess test, there's nothing. Right, yeah. So past that, yeah. And then I landed a job working in the bank as a teller.
Do you think it's that early banking career that got you excited about money and investment?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, because now you're actually in an environment that, you know, my colleagues, you know, day in and day out, they actually in a position to helping those first home buyers, you know, buying the property, you know, they understand how mortgage works. Yeah. And so I was so lucky, you know, like working in the environment, having the right people surrounding, with me. And I think along the way, all those property investments, and because I had really deep understanding of that, you know, the finance, how finance work, you know, how to leverage it, you know, what's good, what's bad. And that's actually able to actually keep pushing me forward. Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about the right people supporting you, because that's something that's travelled through everything I've read about you, is having the right people around you. You talk in your promotions around, you know, a journey from state housing to being a property investor. Do you want your journey to inspire others? Is that one of your
Absolutely,
goals?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Because obviously at that time we could just, you know, stay comfortable in the benefit, you know, because the New Zealand government is so amazing that you're having this welfare system, yeah, which is not available in China. But I think a lot of people, you know, they need that encouragement, because I do encourage my customer that, you know, they were sitting in the sinner's benefit and was, you know, I was able to encourage them to get out of that benefit and then just, you know, pursue, you know, like what I wanted in life. Yeah. So I think that's a huge difference, you know, like, you shouldn't just, you know, stay comfortable there. Yeah.
when I read about you, I discover you've got a few strings to your bow. You're a property investment mentor or a coach. You're a mortgage broker. You're a published author. So let's start with the mentoring and the coaching. When should an investor or a potential investor reach out for mentoring?
I think I'm pretty happy to kind of like provide some sort of like a free consultation and things like that, yeah. And ultimately, like, you know, as well as the customer choosing me, I'm also choosing the clients as well. Yeah, because kind of in the, you know, you kind of in a life state, you know, like kind of, you know, semi-retired, you want to actually work with the right people. Yeah. And yeah, so lucky enough that, you know, we had quite a lot of people that, you know, they are really coachable, you know, like, you know, they are motivated, you know, they listen to, what you are saying, you know, they recognize that, you know, they actually need that support there. Yeah. So it has been a pleasure, you know, working with, you know, this group of people. Yeah.
So could anybody come to you for mentoring, or should you be in a certain stage of your investment journey?
I actually, quite interesting, I think over 50%, probably 55% of our clients are actually first-home buyers. So those are the group of people, they're not just buying the home, and it's not just that, oh, I'm just going to buy a home. They actually wanted to actually using that buying the home, that opportunity to actually help them to actually build their assets and create the wealth. Yeah. So that's actually the group of people that, you know, I'm kind of looking for.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't have picked that. So what does a typical mentoring session look like between you and the client? Can you tell me a little bit more about that journey?
So usually, like, if they come on board, we do a, like, a one-on-one strategy session, yeah. And by the stage, they already kind of meet with our, you know, mortgage advisor, and they were already helping them to actually understand what's their budget, yeah, because we need to know, like, what's their budget, yeah. And then during the one-on-one strategy session, then I getting to understand that whether or not they actually have some special needs, like school zones or their preference of, you know, where, which suburb they want to live and things like that. And then from there, we actually kind of like started narrow down, you know, what other suburbs you're looking at based on your budget, based on your requirements and everything, yeah. And then I will show them the tools that they can use, you know, and also like how to actually doing the analyze on the property and things like that. And then I let my customer to go out there and started doing their own, you know, like research, you know, the search and research, yeah. And at any time, they can always call me up or, you know, come back to me, you know, run another session again, just to understand, like, out of those properties, you know, why their properties I will say no, you know, and, you know, why they are not good, yeah. So I think lately we had a client was telling me that, you know, she actually sent through 66 properties, yeah, and literally only 4 properties. I say, well, you can actually go further, right, with more due diligence. So that actually literally saving our clients a lot of time and money, yeah.
What are you looking for to determine that that property is a good one for an investor?
Ultimately, it's like they need to have a, in a position that, you know, allows our customer to add value to it. Yeah. So, you know, like if you want to do the, you know, like using the property as a tool to actually help you to build your wealth, ultimately, that like, you need to buy well. Yeah, you have to buy well. Yeah. And then also like you are able to add value to it. Yeah. So those are very important things. Yeah. And obviously there are things that, you know, like no flood zone, your flood plain, you know, like, so that they are like a no-no, you know, or like, if the contour is too, if it's a slope or, you know, there are things that I will share with my customer, the frontage, you know, like underground services, you know, so there are a number of that we are checklist, you know, like, helping customer to understand all those ones. Yeah.
So if someone's coming to you for a mentoring session, what should they prepare before they come? Right? What do you or your mortgage team need in advance?
Yeah. So my business partner, you know, like, they will be taking care of the, on the mortgage side. Yeah. Usually it will be, it might be customer just say, hi, Lucy, I'm interested in this. I get in a call. I do a Zoom session with them first. Yeah. And then pass on to, you know, the mortgage team to actually handling the, understand their, where is their budget sits and everything. Yeah. And then come back to me, which is kind of like just a study, process on,
so should they be doing their budgets before they meet your mortgage person, getting financial material together for you?
Absolutely, yeah. But, you know, sometimes the customer might be in a position then they are unsure, like, where they're at and things like that. Yeah, I'm always happy to actually kind of give them because we do have a customer come on board and then they are not ready, like, 3 years later. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it's still good because at least they know, you know, what direction they're heading. Yeah. We do have a number of clients that when they come on board, you know, like, they have a, you know, like a huge personal loan, you know, like things like that. And obviously, it's very obvious. You need to pay that down. You have to pay that off first. Yeah. You need to clean up your other debts before you can save up before you actually got your 5% deposit ready.
So it's a bit like getting a health check done before apply. Tell us about some of your success stories for you or for your clients that you've helped through your mentoring.
Lots of them, yeah. I think there's one I can share is, was it 2000, maybe it's 2017, late 2017. I think, I took a first home buyer out to, Mount Wellington, but it's kind of like a between Mount Wellington and Otahu, so the kind of South Mount Wellington, yeah, okay. So it's not very desirable place, yeah, but being a first home buyer, so obviously they got a really limited, deposit, I mean, really like budget that they can go for, yeah. And this house is run down, has been vacant for a year, you know, the hot water cylinder has been stolen, you know, the holes on the floors and everything, yeah. So I walk in there, and I think my first home buyer client is called David. Yeah, he just like, Lucy, I know where I'm going to buy this. Yeah. So he didn't end up buying it. So I ended up buying it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to the auction. Yeah. I went to the auction. Yeah. And I bought it for 650,000. And that one, I think 5 years later, 2022 September, we sold it for 1.5 million.
Wow.
So all we did was, we done a renovation, you know, tidy up, because we had to rent it out, yeah. There's only like 15,000 just tidy up. Because you need to have a good team, you know, you know, the good builders, and they're not charging you lots of money, yeah. So we tidied it up, yeah. And then we, because it's a full site, you know, it's a, so you always want to buy something that has a great then value, yeah, yeah. And I think other customer, we had lots of amazing story. We had a client is graduate, you know, university graduate. And so he actually attended, because I used to run the, you know, like offline, you know, like in-person, you know, property events, yeah. So he attended event twice, yeah, because, you know, like being participating in the programs, it does require you to actually have some upfront, you know, money available. Yeah. So he actually come to the payment plan, you know, 6 payments. Yeah. He told me that it's really hard because it was like over 50% of his income actually had to pay this payment plan. Yeah. 6 months later. At the time, we cannot, you know, assessing his situation. We think that he's not in the position for another 3 years, but 18 months later, he was able to actually purchasing his first home in Mangere. Yeah. And that one, it's a smaller house. So we were able to actually now to helping him to actually working on building a big house. Yeah. Which is like 2 stories, 5 bedroom, double garage. Yeah. So it's working through the consent right now. You have to understand that, you know, from him it's really tough, you know, because his mom and dad has been renting for like 25, 30 years. Yeah. They never come across their mind that they need to own the house. Yeah. So when he was buying his first house, he's got no support at all.
Right.
So ultimately it was just his really, you know, his salary is only 55,000. You had to understand that it's so hard for him. But he actually said to me, it's so great that because the payment plan was helping him to having that saving, habits. So he just continued to say, even like,
and was the payment plan working towards a deposit or was the payment plan clearing
his
debts?
To my program. Yeah. So it's a 6 months payment plan. He participating. And then once you know, finish that payment plan, you know, like, he was just continue to saving to his deposit.
Right.
Yeah. So it was a great story, you know, like, you know, for.
He built good habits.
Yes. Yeah.
When you hear stories like that, are there certain tips and tricks that you would give to somebody who's like, how do I clear my debts? You know, someone perhaps investing a little bit later in life and they've got all the credit cards and the loans and the car. Is there some tricks to getting rid of that as quick as possible?
Ultimately, just like you just need to have a determination.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we got lots of, we have like, you know, like, I think like, probably a few months ago, we help a first home buyer in their 50s to settle in the first house. So it, in the past, like, they just didn't think that's possible.
Yeah.
And then you had to overcome a lot of like, you know, disbelief that they have over over all those years.
That must bring you lots of joy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I love to work with these title people. Obviously, they are title people. If they know everything. And say, oh, okay, if you know everything, I don't think you need my help.
No. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges people face in today's market when it comes to investing in property?
I guess it's the hardest one is actually people being able to manage their emotion, and I think that's the hardest one, because there are times you have to be cautious, but there are times you need to be greedy, I think people majority of people get it wrong,
So that's your job to mention this, okay. You promote investing in Auckland quite a bit on your promotions and website.
Yeah.
Why do you see Auckland as such a good investment hub?
I think because, Auckland has one-third of the population. So people actually choose to actually come and stay in Auckland. Yeah. I'm aware of that, you know, like lately in the past few years, I think the Queenstown is doing quite well.
Otago Lakes area.
But I still believe that because the majority of the population is in Auckland, you know, like, and if you knowing what to do, you can still do quite well. Yeah. So just that, you know, just follow the strategy we're teaching you. They are always buy well, always being able to find a way to add value to it. Yeah. And, you can actually still doing quite well in property. Yeah.
Is everybody coachable?
No.
No. What are the barriers that stop someone from being coached?
I guess as I say, you know, there are people that believe they know everything.
Yeah.
So how can I coach people that already, if their water is already full?
They've got to come in with an open mind.
Yeah, they do.
So if I turn now to your new book, Financial Freedom, 5 Steps, 5 Years, you talk about assembling a team of professionals to add value to your property really fast. Can you talk me through what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think, obviously in property, they are, you know, that, you know, it's quite different from other title investment, you know, like, because in property, like, a lot of times you are in a position had to add value. And maybe I can use an example, like, because, you know, like, 2-3 years ago when I went to Sydney, I didn't know anyone. All I had was the experience and knowledge I have, you know, from New Zealand. So I brought that knowledge there. Yeah. The first things I know that I had to get to right, the right people. Yeah. Okay. So I bought a property, and it was quite a good bargain because after I bought a property, literally like the agent in the area, they all know about me. I mean, they all wanted to know me or they know about me. Yeah. Or they were just tracing me down. Yeah. Who is this person? Yeah. Because it was, literally you should have probably sold it for 2.5, but I only paid 2.05. Yeah. And done a renovation and the value is probably nearly double, you know, just after 2-3 years. Yeah. And, along the way, obviously it's very important is you need to find the good teams able to actually helping you to do a renovation because the structure and a renovation and things like that. Yeah. So I actually interviewed maybe 7 groups of the builders.
Okay.
Yeah. So literally I know what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because they are builders. They can really break and white. They can take your instruction. You know, if you said doing this, they're doing this. Yeah. Okay. And I think they are also the builder that can be very expensive. So obviously you don't want to actually go into that as well. You want to find someone that, you know, although they are the builder, but they actually have a very good concept of understanding on the design, you know, like the layout, how you actually change the layout to actually make it more appealing, you know, to, the others. Yeah. Mm. So you can actually increase in the value. Yeah. So it's actually like, took me a while because the house was sitting vacant. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, to actually able to actually find this particular builder that able to actually, you know, not only have a, you know, very solid, you know, construction background, but also have very good understanding in the architecture designing side. And also very good for, you know, value for money. You know, they are not going to just throw you a big bill, you know, like, yeah. So that's ultimately is what I'm after. Yeah. So ultimately I kind of like, have built a team there. Yeah. So I think everyone can do the same. Yeah. Cause I do have a customer came to me, they, you know, they're from Wellington or Christchurch or something. And I say, well, I can teach what I know and I can also show you like how you're going to get to these people. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Apart from the builder, are there any other key people that you should have in your
certainly.
Group?
Yeah, certainly. Because in Australia, I'm a mortgage broker as well because I got really solid background in like, how to, source the funds and yeah, so that's actually adds a lot of value. So I don't need to go out there to find a good mortgage broker in Australia. But again, you also need a very good, solicitor accountant. Yeah, yeah, very important. Yeah. Mm. I think with the solicitor, now you probably got a, you know, Google Gemini that you can actually kind of do the early stage of the due diligence. Yeah. And then just like, if you decided to go ahead, obviously you still need your solicitor to double check. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. And when you talk about 5 steps and 5 years, how many investment properties could one own in that period of time? And what do you see as the key to success here?
It's, I guess, like, everyone kind of, like, might be different. You know, like, I used to probably, at one time, I could have in my hand, I don't know, maybe have a dozen or 12, 14 or whatever, yeah. But ultimately, like, you probably wanted to kind of, like, having a, something is more quality in your, cause I sold quite a lot in the, I probably catch up close to 10 million, you know, in 2022, 2023, just before the election.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. So kind of catch up a bit, but you kind of reinvest, you know, some, and as well as in Sydney as well. Yeah. So ultimately you can always just keep refined your portfolio. Yeah. Because like, you know, like before the things might work well, not necessarily they're going to continue to actually performing well. Yeah. So you had to just keep, you know, like, refining it. Yeah.
Mm. How much does the current market sort of play or potentially interfere, when it comes to investing?
Right now the market is, I personally feel like, you know, like if I, you know, comparing the Australia and New Zealand, I think now the New Zealand is actually, heading into the, we are actually in the recovery. Yeah. So it's a really good market to actually come back, to the New Zealand market. Yeah. Australia is probably like, already at the peak or close to the peak. Yeah.
Right.
And also it's really good, you know, like, if you are the, you know, like, holding the Australia assets, you know, it's a really good time because now the New Zealand dollar is 82 cent compared to like, you know, when I was buying the, Sydney property, I think it was 95 cent.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's now is also you kind of is able to win the, you know, like having the game the, from the, exchange rate as well. Yeah.
My daughter's in Australia at the moment. We're trying to pay her student fees, and we've noticed that shift is not the same when you're not investing. But I'll pretend we've got to remember we're investing in her education. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you still see property as a key place to invest, or do you diversify and have shares or stocks or other things that
Yes, I do. I personally feel like the golden era of the property investment has ended. Yeah. You know, like it's not like, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you can easily buy anything. It goes up in value because of inflation. Yeah. And I think like moving forward, I think we're going to see the performance on the property, generally speaking, is probably not going to be too great. Yeah. Because we're seeing like a more surprise coming in the AI, the new technology and everything.
Right.
Yeah. So I think you do have to be, you can still do well because ultimately it's still quite an individual property. Yeah. Okay. You can still do well, but it does require you to actually have a more knowledge, you know, and, to actually investing in the property market. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Who do you think should pick up your book? Who would you like to be inspired by your book?
I guess it's everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think benefits most? Is it someone starting out on this journey or someone that needs a bit of a tidy up?
Absolutely. I think that for someone to start a journey, it's going to give them a lot of inspiration, you know, like, you know, let them understand that, you know, they can do it. Yeah, because if it's I can, you know, coming from the housing museum background, you know, like trying to manage $170 a week after we pay the rent, you know, just managing for four of us, yeah. And I do believe that a lot of people probably in a much better, you know, financial position than I was. Yeah. So I think it's certainly a book, you know, to get an encouragement. Yeah.
Was this your first time as an author?
Yes, yeah. So I'm hoping to actually do another one because obviously a lot had changed now.
Yeah.
You know,
Kind of need to keep it updated and
keep it fresh. Yes.
Yeah. How did you find the process of writing your thoughts down into a book, editing it, publishing it, etc.? What was the biggest challenge there?
Okay. I think like, I always wanted to write a book because the reason being is like, when I was buying my first home, being a Chinese is very easy because it's in our blood. You know, everywhere you go, you want to settle. You want to buy a home, right? Okay. But it's really difficult for my Kiwi husband. Yeah. Because for him was like, oh my God, it's such a big debt I'm going to take on. He was really stressed out. And I felt like I really want to go up there and then just like encourage people to do it. Yeah. Because on your home, it really provides you a lot of like, security, the safety, you know, the certainty, and as well as the building your wealth. Yeah. Okay. So that was a reason I always wanted to do it. Yeah. And I think I eventually able to do it was I remember that at the time I was traveling in Australia and I kind of having this like, because it's 2 hours difference. So I woke up so early in the morning. I was like, okay, I better do something then. Yeah. So I using that additional 2 hour to actually write a book. And I think it only took me 2 weeks to So finally did it.
So perhaps your next book needs the marriage counseling section. So when, you know, Chinese and European marry, it's like, how do we cope with that? Look, you're also a mortgage broker, both here and even more so in Australia. So I guess it's the complete package that you are providing. You're providing the advice, the mentoring, and then helping to secure the finance. Does that make it easier, not just for your clients you're mentoring, but for you, because you're getting to know your clients before you're submitting them to the bank for a mortgage?
Yes, you are right, yeah. Because obviously it's that trust. Yeah, because we already kind of know the detail of the clients, their financial positions. Yeah.
Do you work with just the major lenders or do you work with second tier lenders as well? Like, when do you decide I need to use a non-bank lender for somebody?
We're using quite a lot. It's just because in New Zealand, I think the major bank had lots of changes, you know, like, probably after the COVID, you know, in terms of their construction loan. It used to be that you can get 100% lending and then later on they only kind of scale that back. Yeah. So you do need to actually knowing like what are the lender available. I think in New Zealand, total lenders, you're probably only looking at maybe 20 or 30. In Australia, it's way over 100 lenders available.
Wow.
Yeah, they have all sorts, yeah.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, absolutely, it's good, yeah.
Yeah,
but ultimately,
okay.
Like, reality is that we probably only just come down to using perhaps 6 to 10 lenders, you know, like, because, and I think the non-bank lenders is so crucial because like if you're going to come into the construction side, you know, a lot of banks, they want the pre-sale valuation, you know, QS, yeah. But a lot of non-bank lenders, you know, like they just said, no, we don't worry about it because their funders themselves, a developer, you know, they can actually sell value. They can actually, you know, have their own valuation on the, you know, the projects you are doing and everything. Yeah.
What are some of the other differences you notice between New Zealand and Australia? You know, what is the investment landscape like over the ditch? Is one country better than the other to invest in property in? Trick question.
Very, very tricky, yeah. I think ultimately because what I'm servicing is on the home buyers. So ultimately, like if you are in Auckland, obviously you're buying the homes in Auckland, right? Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're actually thinking about. But from the investment point of view, there's probably not a lot of benefit for the New Zealander investing in Australia because you ultimately ended up being an overseas investor. because I understand that if you enter the country, you get this like a 444, you know, special visa, which is like they treat it as a permanent resident. But ultimately, like a lot of states, they had a requirement of that, you know, that you need to stay there for a certain period of time, to avoiding the surcharge on the stamp duties,
right,
and surcharge, the land tax surcharge. Yeah, okay. So unless that you are someone kind of looking at like having that experience, living in Australia, then otherwise I probably wouldn't suggesting you to heading that way. Yeah, this is just like too much tax. Yeah, unless like the capital growth is able to offset it. Otherwise, it's because Australia, you got so many tax, like you had to pay stamp duty. You had to pay land tax. Land tax is ongoing and it's a percentage, and as an overseas investor, because you are not in the country for a certain period of time, every year you also had to pay the land tax surcharge. Yeah. So it's very expensive. Yeah.
Right.
However, for Australia's investing in New Zealand, a lot of benefit because basically like we're treating them as a New Zealand citizen. There's no requirement they need to live in the country for a certain period of time and things like that. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, yeah. So what does someone need to do to prepare to apply for a mortgage with you?
Are you talking about in Australia?
Here in New Zealand.
In New Zealand.
You work with partners that look after that. Do they need to prepare like 3
yes.
months worth of finances?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just the standard process. Yeah. So usually I just pass on, having a quick chat with clients, I pass on to the, mortgage advisors to work on their applications. Usually it's just the ID, your 3 months statement. Usually they got a system they can actually just automatically doing that rather than that you had to physically provide it. So you probably know about it. Your pay slips, the financial statements, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any top tips for first home buyers? What advice would you give to somebody thinking about buying their first home?
I think it's probably reaching out, having a conversation, knowing like which way is you heading, cause I can always, give you a simple, direction, which way you're heading. Yeah. So, young graduate, reaching out, I'm happy to always help them. Yeah.
And take the emotions out of it.
By that's right.
Yeah. Take the emotions and find good people to support you. Back to you personally now. What are your own future goals? Where would you like to see yourself in the next few years? If I interview you back here in a few years' time, what will you be doing?
So currently I'm selling my property in Sydney. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, already I can easily sell it quite easily, but I think I kind of looking for a certain, price point. Yeah. I want to transfer the money back because as I said, it's 82 cent, compared to when I exchanged the money over was 95 cent. Yeah. So that was a pretty good, and then I got some developments, at Mount Wellington and also Buckland Beach, yeah. So a couple like is going through the the consent process, the sort of things like that. I think that's probably where I will be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you cope jetting between Sydney and Auckland? Like, do you do so many days in each city, or how often are you travelling between?
It's a bit unfortunate if you bought a property in Australia, in New South Wales, I think there's a requirement you have to live there for 200 days every
right.
year, otherwise to avoiding paying the overseas, the land tax surcharge, which is that you're looking at like 8 or 9% now, of the land value every year, yeah. So basically I base there most of the time, and then New Zealand and perhaps maybe China sometimes, because I just come back from China, yeah.
What's the investment space like in China?
It's brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah,
why?
It's brilliant. It's a very different market, and I think it's ultimately they're very strong in manufacture. I think no one can compete with them. Mm. Yeah. Mm, okay. And also Chinese people, they're very they work very hard, and also they're very intelligent people working there. Yeah. And I because there are a lot of hedge fund managers, they used to work in Wall Street, and now they're actually moving back to China. So they were helping to actually educate. The people, the investors, they are more sophisticated. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because they understand the whole supply chain. You know, so we talk about Apple. Yeah. Right. A lot of people probably buy the Apple share or something, but ultimately, like this group of investors, they look at the whole supply chain. Yeah. And then they will actually, you know, dig down to like, which company actually provided particularly, parts or material, or even the, you know, go down to the material. Yeah. So myself, I got some like, magnesium, investing some into the magnesium, which is going nicely. On the return side. Obviously they have their issue. You know, there's a deflation there. You know, the property market has been very depressing. They have a shrinking population as well. Yeah. So they have their issues. But I think because, they're just under one government, so they are able to actually planning long term. You know, they are able to actually, you know, like, planning 5-10 years or 15 years, you know,
so
ahead
not,
of time.
They're not impacted by a 3-year election cycle.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you see the, like, elections coming up here in New Zealand this year? Do you see that impact your investors?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Cause I think very often that investor will start to just pause it. You know, like, we don't know who is going to get in, you know, what's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Interesting. What's going to be in your next book then?
I guess it's probably my, picked up my, you know, what I talk about, you know, like, the investment I have, you know, like, you know, I talk about in my first book, you know, Financial Freedom, 5 Steps in 5 Years. Yeah. And then we'll be adding on more, because we've been through the COVID, you know, and also like, investing in Australia. So I think it will be quite a lot I can talk about in business, you know, personal, and also in the, property investment, and also investment war as well. Yeah.
If somebody's nervous to start investing, what advice do you have for them? If someone's thinking, oh, I've got a bit of money, I'm not sure whether I should do property or somewhere else, what's your advice?
Just probably be open-minded. Yeah, because obviously, like, I'm not in a position to changing everybody's life, but ultimately it's themselves need to convince themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, happy for those people to actually reaching out if they feel uncertain, if they need to kind of understand a bit more, you know, at the, macro, because macro is very important as well. Yeah. Not just the property. You have to understand what's going on around you. Yeah.
Do you continue to buy investment properties yourself? Are you always looking for yourself as well?
Because now I'm kind of working on the development, you know, got some development project to focus on that. Yeah, but I do have a number of clients that I am coaching and mentoring with, you know, that they are actually in the position to buy as well.
That's cool. Who inspired you? You mentioned your family right at the beginning. Who else inspired you?
My husband's grandmom. Yeah. So it's brilliant. You know, like, at the time, obviously you didn't realizing it, but afterwards you realizing that. Yeah. And I think a lot of, you can learn a lot from a lot of people. Just make sure that, you know, being open-minded. Yeah. Because we might be very good in our own, field, right? Yeah. So, you know, always like, had an interest, you know, like, in anything, you know, when you come across other people's, you know, like, they are always something that you can learn from.
Use those experts. How can people get in touch with you, follow you, find out more and get your books?
So I got a website there, which is, Finax, finax.co.nz. Yeah. So you can order the book, there. Yeah. And from now on, I will posting the blog. Yeah. I'm also like, on LinkedIn as well. Yeah. So, you know, YouTube as well. Yeah. So feel welcome to follow me. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you
so much for sharing your wisdom and coming into the studio today.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephen. Yeah.
Appreciate it. We are going to take a few weeks break now as we let you all go and enjoy Easter and the school holidays and Anzac Day. We take our regular break and we will be back in studio from June. Don't fear though, you can jump onto Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple and Samsung podcasts or YouTube and download include any of our Property Matters shows. If you've got someone or you'd like to come on yourself, or you've got a burning question you'd like us to find someone to answer, email us propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. If you're travelling home today, listening live, travel safe, have a fabulous week and a fabulous Easter, and we will catch you back in June. Take care.